hiding in our various,
Yeah.
our various places I can't talk today for some reason. We're
It's going to
all
be very
home,
hard to
folks.
do a
We're all home and we're
podcast.
recording on Zoom.
Yeah, this is our rainy day podcast.
Yes, it is. And indeed, it is raining. I'm Calvin Reed, a contributing editor at Publishers Weekly. Check us out online at publishersweekly.com/comics.
I'm Heidi McDonald. I'm the editor in chief of The Beat at comicsbeat.com and K Comics Beat at kcomicsbeat.com. And you can find us on Blue Sky at pwcomicsworld.bsky.social.
And I'm Kate Fitzsimmons. I'm the podcast producer, and you can find us online on Tumblr at PW Comics World.
Theoretically, you can subscribe to More to Come on the Apple Podcast app and on Spotify, and check it out because we're never sure at any particular point what our technical status is,
But you can
but
definitely find us on
you certainly
publishersweekly.com/comics.
can. And on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/PW Comics World.
If you manage to subscribe to us and do find us on some social media, please leave us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Give us a rating or a thumbs up or, a like. Smash that like button. Let us know because we'd love to hear from our listeners.
Oh, indeed we do. All right, this week on More to Come, best PW's best books 2024, and we're going to cover the graphic novels for adults for you. And we'll look at the other categories too. Comics Pro Report, conventions update. We've got stuff on Angoulême and Baltimore Comic Con. Crunchyroll's in the news on its manga list, and Frieren on hiatus. All right, PW's best books list of 2024, compiled, the graphic novel list compiled by PW Graphic Novels Review editor Meg Lemke. Five, six books, am I right?
Well, they had six books. I just want to say that PW is always the first out of the gate
Yep.
as befits its position as the category leader
Yep.
for books. So yeah, this is it. Best book season is on,
Yes,
everybody. It is on.
we're they beat no we're prior to November, so we're here. You're this is great for gift giving and holiday shopping and or just if you're just a general nerd. But
Well, the
among the books, Black Arms to Hold You Up by Ben Passmore.
and also on the list we have well hold on let's see Black Cohosh by Eagle Valley Ambrosi, Do Admit, The Mitford Sisters and Me by Mimi Pond, The Wench and Future Riot by Joe Sacco, Spent by Alison Bechdel, and Tongues Volume 1 by Anders Nilsson. So really just heavyweights here, Joe Sacco, Alison Bechdel, Anders Nilsson, a couple of relative newcomers in Brosi and Passmore, and then a legend, Mimi Pond. So yeah, what a great year in graphic novels.
Absolutely. Obviously, Passmore on our More to Come 700 show. So you can actually hear him talk about the book if you want to go back to that. Personally, do admit about the Mitford sisters, Mimi Pond's book, absolutely terrific. I mean, all of these books are terrific. The Alison Bechdel is hilarious.
I have, you know what? I never got, I have to read that book. That was on my read list. I got to do my end of year reading, so I need to,
Hilarious. If you're a rating on the profound level, Anders Nilsson's Tongues, I'm not even going to pretend that I can analyze it, but it's an experience to read it. Highly recommend it. It's just a powerful book and beautiful. Every page is gorgeous.
And also there were a few books on the middle grade and YA list. On the
Yes.
YA list, there was Angelica and the Bear Prince by Trung Ly Nguyen, and This Place Kills Me by Mariko Tamaki and Nicole Go. I mean, obviously, more standard, sturdy creators that we, the turn out
Yes.
awesome work. And
Yeah.
then from the middle grade
Yeah,
list, how
there's a
does
third book, Heidi. There's a
Yeah, what
third
I
book.
yeah, yes, I know Calvin and I'm reading them. There's actually four books according to Jamie Colville. There was How to Say Goodbye in Cuban by Daniel Meares, and Night Chef, an epic tale of friendship with a side of deliciousness by Micah Song.
Okay. And did you mention Song of a Blackbird by Maria Van Lieshout?
I did not. So I guess
That's
there's
right.
so many graphic novels we can't even count them all.
Yes. Just to throw that in there. I think there's three for each category there. Check them out, folks.
And of course there'll be more lists
There will be
coming, as it
more
was
to
a
come.
momentous year in comics. Wait till we get to our year in review episode, kids. Well, speaking of year in review, Comics Pro, the organization for comics retailers, they have a in-person event in February, but then they also have a online open house in October that was held. And so this was a series of Zoom meetings, and I did not get to go because I really suck. But Bridget Al did attend, and she wrote it up for ICB2, and I thought there was some very interesting things that were covered there. For instance, see if I can find my own link. So it's a rainy day here, folks.
It
We have the rainy. I
really
think we all just want to, settle down with a good book and a cup of hot cocoa. But we're doing our podcast. So anyway, maybe most interesting was that Kristen McLean did a book scan report. And of course, we're cut off from those precious, precious book scan numbers because they no longer give them to the Beat, which we used to do a yearly analysis. The main take, well, she said that graphic novel sales are down 4.7%, which is not, it's a pretty significant amount, I would say. That's from so unit sales of graphic novels came to 41 million in the 12 months ending in September 2025, a decrease of 4.7% compared to the same period a year prior. The kids' graphic novels up 5%. Adult unit sales down slightly, but market share went up to 61%. Adult graphic novels do include the manga category, which is why it's 61%. And YA graphic novels were down quite a bit, down 1.1 million units, bringing them to 3% of the craft comics and graphic novel. Let's see. And the best sellers were, as you might expect, Dog Man, Warriors, Wings of Fire, The Babysitter's Club. And McLean attributed the drop in YA graphic novel sales to the decline in popularity of two blockbuster properties, Heartstopper and Five Nights at Freddy's. However, she said that the superhero comics are up, and she attributed that to the DC Compact Comics format and the Marvel Premiere Editions. This is very interesting. She cited a historical precedent, the introduction of pocket-sized paperbacks during the Depression. That was when mass-market paperback really came into the market because it was designed to be affordable. It was designed to be a good edition of great work, and it was comfortable, and that's what we're seeing with these two series. So I think that's very, I mean, compact comics have definitely been a revelation. Every publisher is doing their own version of them, and they finally seem to have hit that sweet spot, which is manga sized. So,
Well, it's a little bigger than manga,
yeah, a little
but
bigger.
it's nice. It's nice. It's actually about the size of a regular American trade paperback. Maybe the traditional publishers were on to something.
Yeah, and these are and these are backlist. These are bestsellers, perennial sellers, the like, if I'm not mistaken.
Other things from of note from the Comics Pro meeting were that they did a survey of distributors, formerly three, now only two. They did not include Universal in there, and retailers scored Penguin Random House Publisher Services ahead of Lunar for the first time.
Interesting.
PRH received a 3.99 overall score, and Lunar a 3.8. So, it's pretty close. It sounds like it was it wasn't a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. And kind of like not as great news. We've been talking here about the Comet standard for years. Like, this is an attempt to create a metadata system for comics, and it is very badly needed because every publisher has different standards. And the comparison I've heard is that there actually was a bunch of, I believe, well, I don't know who comprised it, but a bunch of book people came together and created BSAC, which was the book industry kind of metadata committee, and that is now the standard. So it's Comics Pro has taken upon themselves, because there are some total data wonk retailers out there, and God bless them because we need them. So they have been trying for years to get a uniform standard, the Comet, they call it the Comet standard of metadata, and it was unveiled, I believe, almost 2 years ago at the Comics Pro meeting 2 years ago, and trying to get publishers to comply with it is slow going. And now, especially with all the Diamond stuff, like Diamond Previews was the standard for the big catalog, and so now it's kind of 52 pickup out there. So they're trying to get publishers to adhere to the standard, and guess who comes in number one with compliance is PRH. So good old Rand, good old giant conglomerate Random House. They are doing their part.
Didn't they mention the other two book publisher distributors as well? S&S and HarperCollins?
They did mention them, but they said PRH
Is the best. Yes, there was.
is
He
doing the
was
best.
is the
So
best. Yeah.
give them some
Sure.
give them some props there. But
Yeah.
yeah, a lot of problems. Series codes, like they're going in and they're massaging the data. I think Brian Garside of Managed Comics, a POS system for comic shops, he says, "I think that the ultimate goal is for the data to come to us correct and not for us to be imposing our own biases on it."
Well, and also not for everybody not to have to do extra work. Like, if you have one system, everybody can work around that one system instead of like having to have five workarounds.
I will say the Comet standard has a lot of fields. Okay. It is not like 10 and done. It is very like, but that's kind of how it has to be, because comics are unlike anything with the comic book series and the volumes and the variants and the this and the that and the compact and the ultimate and the absolute and the So anyway, slow going, but they're working on it. And this is also sales charts, dream on. We still have no way forward for sales charts, and that's really sucks. So I want to say one thing. So we'll talk a little bit more about Baltimore, but I went to Baltimore Comic Con, and it's the week after New York Comic Con. I can't believe I made it, but so big, grueling. If I sound out of it here, it's because I'm still recovering
Well,
from,
you're a pro.
I had the week to recover for New York Comic Con with my con cred. Heidi had no such good luck because she was at another con, one con after another.
And but Baltimore is obviously get a chance to talk to people, and I talked to a couple of publishers, and then I had some other people kind of tip me off to this, that several publishers who have gone to Lunar from Diamond, in this diaspora from the Diamond bankruptcy, immediately saw an increase in sales. And
You're starting something.
that, well, but it's also because as much as we worshiped the 400 to 500 page previews catalog that had everything in it, that was also what retailers used to order. And I think some of these publishers going from, being in the middle of a 400 page catalog to being on a much smaller catalog afforded them a lot more visibility to retailers. So, this is again anecdotal, but I'm actually investigating this because it's quite interesting if true. And just on the follow up on kind of the retailer front, Brian Hibbs had a New Tilting at Windmills column where he talked about the smaller distributors like Philbo and Power Pulp that have sprung up, and he was very, very not excited about them, because, and he ran all the numbers. He pointed out that it's just like that the discounts that they're offering, you just can't make money on these kind of, niche items that don't move too many copies. And there's actually a Facebook thread where a lot of retailers and industry observers chime in and they say, "You're right, Brian, you're right." So, I'm not sure, but I mean, there has to be a way for indie comics to be distributed to the comic shop market. I mean, Diamond can't have been the only way to do it.
No.
So it's a lot of things are still shaking out.
You mentioned previews. Was there any discussion of Universal, that Universal CEO at Insider Talk talked about
Well,
the perhaps bringing it back as a digital catalog?
I mean, I assume that's in the works. They don't, Universal doesn't have PR. Nobody's really been able to find a contact there to talk to them. And
I
I've
wonder if
reached,
that's by the design.
I mean, I've reached out to Angelo Exarchopoulos a couple times and not gotten a response, but I'll keep
Yeah,
trying.
he was impressive at the talks, but yeah, the follow-up is obviously going to be key.
And yeah, absolutely. And odds, everything is in play. Everything is in play. But one thing that absolutely, ha ha, no pun intended, is clear from talking to f folks at New York Comic Con, at Baltimore Comic Con, from Comics Pro, just talking to people in general, is that DC Comics is crushing it. And they, absolutely. Loot has been a huge hit. I mean, I don't know who went to the comic shop, but they just put out like a Batman, Absolute Batman Annual by Daniel Warren Johnston that is absolutely incredible. He is a master. And they have this whole new thing coming, which is Next Level. And it's another kind of Scott Snyder one, Scott Snyder led initiative where they're going to bring new young creators in on books and going to try new things.
And also, if you're wondering, listeners, you aren't less wondering, but my co-hosts are wondering. I was looking for my there it is, my special collected edition of those small collections that they've been bringing out that really have been selling really well.
And so DC is doing everything right, and
And
over the
we're starting to see the book collections of the Absolute series too.
and I'll be be great to get those books scan numbers, but I will say I was just on Reddit this morning and I saw somebody asking why was DC so obsessed with the number 52? And this podcast spans a lot of the history of the new 52 and 52 and
Well, we
I
reviewed every number one issue,
that's
didn't we?
yeah well I
Every,
mean
and if you go back into the PW archives, you can find them, folks.
I think it's because the original 52 did well and they got, I don't know, like superstitious about it or something, the way they did about putting, gorillas on the cover.
Well, that was the thing. It's like at the time, the word on the street was that Dan DiDio, remember him? Do you remember Dan DiDio? Seems
I
like a
can't forget
life,
him.
seems like a lifetime ago. And he was, he, like you said, he became very superstitious about the number 52. And Kate, if you remember how Jeff Johns, kind of romanced us to win us over when he did his rebirth after,
I mean, I will say Rebirth definitely sanded some of the edges off of the new 52 and was not actually a bad idea.
So no, I remember we had a like Jeff Johns met up with Kate and I and a couple other people and showed us how awesome Rebirth was. So, those were heady times, man. Those good old 52 days. But now, big ups to Marie Javens. She is the editor in chief at Marvel, an industry veteran, and she took the job on an interim basis, and she has presided over what I would call a golden era.
Well, We're switching to Marvel now?
Marie Javens is at
yeah,
DC.
Jeeves
Oh, I
at
know, but
DC.
you said Marvel.
Oh, I did. Okay. Yes.
Well,
Well,
yeah,
she started at
DC.
Marvel. Sorry. Yes.
There
Sorry.
you
I
go.
meant at DC.
But yeah, we're seeing a lot of good things out of D. This came up in Milton's talk as well, with all the things that they're doing right. It's great. They're selling books. They're getting people excited. And this next level you're talking about is to kind of to expand their revamp across more of these classic characters, maybe, outside of the Holy Trinity.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look, just to mention Marvel, I mean, there's a lot of criticism of Marvel that they are just retreading the same ground and they do not have a similar kind of resurgence. Just, I mean, I got their email today like, oh, Scarlet Witch is a Sorcerer Supreme. I mean, that could be awesome, but it nothing they've done. I mean, oh, and they're ending Ultimates, which I still don't know what the story is there, but why they're ending it. But
We always plan to end it, is the
yeah.
official
Well,
line.
that I've heard from my sources that that is actually true, and why they would. But to
But then
me,
why?
to me, this is just. Pardon me. This is just kind of retreading the Marvel playbook, and because they like to reboot once every couple years, and so there was new Marvel, then there was all new Marvel, and then there was new all new Marvel again. They did all an initiative called All New Marvel Twice, because the retailers will order it no matter how how well trodden the path. So, and I know from talking to people that this is known. This is a known problem, even at Marvel. But it's hard when I guess given all the stuff going on in the world with conglomeration and consolidation and
Yeah,
AI and all
and
that.
also, I mean, superhero comics generally have a trouble of making it hard to communicate to new readers. This is a good place to jump on to this title. And I think maybe the all new or whatever they're used as a way to be like, it's okay, are you new? Try this book now.
And yeah, and absolute I did that. I
Yeah.
keep t struggling not to say absolutely, but and the and props to Scott Snyder. I might have said this in the last episode too, but Scott is brought on a bunch of creators who are different ages, but they're not kids, and they've managed to create a line that has got new young readers coming in and feeling seen and heard and related. So
Now, this next
promise.
level is supposed to be in continuity, but they're also trying to bring in creators under the same kind of mandate to do something that they're really interested in, to do something that's a little different, but not completely out of continuity. I mean, that's what I read from
Yeah.
the Beat story. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
DC
Yes. It's
has done books like this before, but not necessarily as a line. It's not a bad idea to just be like, hey, you can have this lesser known character, or you can borrow this better known character and like do something funky with them artistically.
And they got a great
yeah.
lineup of creators
Total.
too.
Yeah, I might be freezing. I think I froze.
Yeah, you're good.
You're fine.
Okay, all right. I have my tiny 8 gigs of memory on this computer is the bane of my life, man. So
Too.
anyway, yes. Yeah, what revamping, refreshing the line is an absolute staple when you have characters that have been around for 90 years
Yes.
or 80 years, 70 years. It's kind of necessary, and because your readers are literally dying off otherwise. So props to DC on doing this in a way that seems pretty exciting, and hopefully Marvel will follow suit at some point.
And was there other among the retailers, was there some I saw there was some discussion of the variant fatigue, which seems to come up constantly with no real resolution in it. They want them until they
Well,
don't want them.
again, I did not actually witness these
Okay.
presentations. This is just based on
Reports.
Bridges'
Yeah,
reports and Bridges'
I'm looking at the
reporting.
report
So
too. That's all.
I am hoping to
Yeah.
watch a few of them for Glean and other. I mean, also, this is an ironic thing to say on a podcast, but I know a lot of people like to listen to podcasts. But all of the stuff is being done on podcasts now, like Adam Freeman and Django Boren and Brian Garside, who are three pretty involved number crunchers doing weekly podcast, weekly live stream, and I'm like, do I have to watch the whole hour? Because I can't you just write a little article and tell me what it says? Because it's having to watch all these Zooms, is it's time
There's
consuming.
frequently a transcript option.
There is, I
There
know, I'm
is.
well aware of that, but it does not list speakers, and it's very difficult sometimes to really follow the flow of conversation from the way Google does the transcripts. So, because believe me, Kate, I have tried.
All right.
Anyway, yes. So, moving on. Well, troubles continue in Angoulême. And Dean Simons at the Beat has an article up that really explains it all. And in typical fashion, it's super duper complicated. But the short version is that everybody hates F Frank Bondeau, who is this guy who runs Ninth Art, which is the company that runs Angoulême Comics Festival. And they demanded that they open it up for new offers, but the way it appears that he is gaming the system so that it will be Ninth Art again, and everyone is
It was ever thus.
yes, but cartoonists are saying they're going to boycott the show. I know Karen Green, who friend Karen Green from Columbia University, noticed that that she is boycotting. I mean, she's not going this year. I know it's her favorite show, and but she wants to show her solidarity for this. And so, if they do indeed boycott, this could be pretty major because the cartoonists who go there
I mean,
is.
essentially, he's the Bondu is handing the running of the show over to a company that he controls anyway. So there's no real change here.
It's crap. It's crappy and it's very European. I mean, now American, now we have the same problems, but it's for all their vaunted social programs and superior healthcare and all that. They do have the old ways. Back a handshake deals, winking, back smoking rooms. It's all still happening in Europe. So
And I mean, this is very old school con drama. It's just gotten completely to a next level. It's like, what if FIFA and all this drama around FIFA, but comics?
Yes, it is exactly
It's
like
just like
FIFA.
that.
It's
Next
exactly like FIFA.
I'm going to find out that he used convention funds to buy an apartment for his cat. I
Yeah, which
mean,
I'm sure he did, to be honest, but
no, the show has been chafing under Bondu for a long time.
So anyway, that continues. I wanted to bring attention to the fact that right now, at this very moment, the Lucca Comics and Games is going on. Again, we have an article up at the Beat by an Italian comics writer, and Lucca is huge, huge, draws 300,000 people.
And
It's
it's a
another,
beautiful town.
oh, it's a beautiful walled city. I've seen the photos. It is probably Europe's biggest event. It has a huge video game component as well, and it is it's I it's going to get more attention. I can just sense it. Especially, did we talk about the Malaga Comic Con here? I guess we did a couple
But
of episodes
I'm
again,
not sure we did.
but
I don't think
yeah.
we did.
Oh, well, there was a San Diego Comic-Con held its first. Well, they didn't hold it. They just licensed out the name San Diego Comic-Con, and some folks in Malaga, Spain put on what was billed as San Diego Comic-Con. They used the logo and everything. And they said they were going to sell 60,000 tickets to it. And those sold out immediately. And so then they were like, let's sell another 60,000 tickets. So 120,000 people tried to cram into a space meant for 60,000. Now that's daily. I mean, there was probably like 30 to 40,000 each day, but there
How
was
many
a
days is the show?
it was a 4-day
It's a
show.
4-day show.
And there was an outcry in the Spanish press, like people were standing in line in the hot sun and they wouldn't let them bring food inside, and it really created a very European scandal again. And so and even Antonio Banderas, like this is unheard of for me. Like he was there to give Arnold Schwarzenegger an award because Arnold Schwarzenegger has a home in near Malaga because it's beautiful. That's why he was there. But and then in his Instagram, he said, "What a hero." I'm paraphrasing, what a great hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But the true heroes were the fans who stood in line all day. And I like I said, it's
Shaming the show organizer.
unheard of for a celebrity to bag on a controversy like that. So the but there was also some really great things. Like there was, I mean, it was a successful Comic-Con. I compared it to New York Comic-Con, which as Calvin and I know.
Yeah.
Too many people came,
Lots.
and yeah, so they promised to do better next year. But it seems to me, just from my little perch, that interest in these international shows is just growing and growing, and they're becoming much more of part of the global comics industry, even here in the United States. So, and also just quickly, I went to Baltimore. Fabulous, absolutely fabulous, good times, highly recommended. Go to Baltimore Comic Con if you want to experience a real Comic Con that puts comics first. They also had the Ringo Awards there, which you could find a list various places. I just want to shout out the Pedestrian won two awards, which it's a book we love. We love the guys behind the Pedestrian. We love the book. It's a real success story. And I wasn't able to go to the awards, but it must have been a great moment when they won. So.
All right.
So what's going on in the world of anime, manga, and Crunchyroll, Kate?
Many, many, many things. So, first off, let's start with the sad news. So, if you were at New York Comic Con, your badge said Frieren on it. If you have not been under a rock, you have seen either the anime Frieren, the manga Frieren, or reviews for Sane, rave reviews. It's a new classic for a reason. It's kind of a like after the series kind of series for like, so what would it be like to be an elf who lived through Lord of the Rings 100 years after Lord of the Rings? It's really a great little book that miraculously survived translation to anime. Unfortunately, it's very hard to be a mangaka, and it's very hard on your health. And it is now on indefinite hiatus for the saddest of reasons. So the mangaka, Kenahito Yamada is the author, and the illustrator is Tsukasa Abe. And the author is having significant health concerns, and it's implied that the illustrator is not doing great either. So they are on indefinite hiatus, which is really sad. It has to be serious for a book this big to go on indefinite hiatus, and for it to be heavily implied that it's not just one creator, but both creators who are suffering in their health because of this manga.
Do you is this part of the general trend, though, that they are in Japan being a little bit more mindful of the health of the creators, given the grueling schedule that they have to go under?
Well, I don't know if it's that they're being more mindful or if the creators are being more mindful. Like if you see your peers dying or getting seriously ill, maybe you take your own health a little more seriously, even if you're at the peak of your career. But it's really sad that the industry is pushing people to that degree. The United States comic industry has many flaws, but it tends not to work its creators to death. And I hope maybe they can work out a more relaxed schedule, maybe a book a month instead of every week or something because this is just clearly not sustainable. And I wish the creators of Frieren well. And I wish the Japanese mangakas everywhere well and hope they can get better schedules for themselves because this is just brutal.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But on lighter note, the people publishing manga are doing just fine, and Crunchyroll has entered their number. So Crunchyroll not only is offering for a price,
Yes.
sort of a quote unquote Netflix for manga, but they have made some other partnerships as well. After that rollout during New York Comic Con, they have announced that they are having a free channel on Samsung Smart TV. So if you have a Samsung Smart TV, there is a free anime channel run by Crunchyroll that you can watch. It does have ads. It's kind of like Tubi for anime, but only if you have a Samsung.
Yeah, I have a Samsung TV, but it's dumb. My TV, we bought it in 2009, and it's still working fine. Samsung makes really good TVs.
Yeah, I mean, TVs, thank goodness, have not entered the realm of planned obsolescence. My TV is on its third owner, and it's doing just fine. It's not
Mine's pretty
particularly
old
bright, but
too.
it does what it needs to do.
How old is your TV, Kelvin?
You know what? I don't even know, but it's really old. It's like you can see it here in the background. You
Yeah.
people listening can't, but I've got a big, what is it, 30? I don't know what the inch number is, but this thing is, it's got to be more than 10 years old easily. And it works just fine. Now, it's not a smart, big screen TV, but it's great for watching the Yankees, let me tell you.
Well,
Yeah. Well, my
ha
TV.
ha, da, Jackie's lose,
No, stop
da,
that.
Jackie's
You
lose.
stop that. That's insulting.
Well, but I
You
can tell
stop
you
it. Just stop it.
there
Or I'll
is a
start talking about the
downside.
Mets anyway.
There is a downside to smart TVs, and that downside is they stop being smart after a while. My TV started life as a smart TV, and now all of its apps are so completely outdated that they do nothing.
That is true. My parents have a kind of a middle grade TV.
No.
And they every like they keep replacing it because I mean I say keep, but every few years I go up and I was like, oh, the TV isn't working. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
Well, see,
you know.
if you're smart, you're eventually going to be dumb. But if you start out as a dumb TV, you're just going to be dumb forever.
Yeah.
So they just it just works. It's just a big dummy, just keeps on working. It's not a
Well,
problem.
at any rate, maybe
Speaking
what I
of smaller and smarter screens, they also have made a partnership with Delta.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot.
So now, if you are flying Delta, you can watch, not only can you watch Crunchyroll anime, not the entire library, but a good chunk of it on your Delta flight. But also, if you are a Delta SkyMiles member, you can stream 24 hours worth of Crunchyroll while you are linked up to the Delta Wi-Fi. So, say you have a couple flights, you could use your Wi-Fi to watch Crunchyroll on your device of choice while you're in flight if you're a SkyMiles member. The passengers will find that included are Black Clover, My Roommate is a Cat, Horimiya, Fruits Basket, and Solo Leveling, among others.
Yeah,
So
well, Crunchyroll is everywhere. Crunchyroll is growing. Crunchyroll is suddenly the king of the castle, man.
yes.
They're trying everything.
They've returned to their manga offerings in a big way, for sure. I kind of re revived my Crunchyroll account just to check it out. Now it's not as easy to sample. You can't really sample anything, but they've got hundreds of titles, hundreds of volumes of titles. So
Yeah. So much so that when I was at New York Comic Con and went to their booth and was like, how many titles do you have? They were like, we don't know.
Yeah, well, that was the like the non-information booth. It was a great looking booth, with neon and video screens of pages, but not much information.
Yes.
Good
Yeah.
eye candy.
But speaking of eye candy, they something that they are doing that's actually quite successful is Crunchyroll has partnered with the digital medical health device company Luminopia for a actually FDA approved medical device. Basically, they realized that, okay, this is personal to me because my dad had amblyopia as a kid and he lost vision in one eye because therapy for it in the 1950s was not amazing. And indeed hadn't improved a lot since then. But because you need to make a small child wear a patch on their good eye, it doesn't work very well. But now they've created headsets where kids can watch cartoons through their bad eye.
Oh, wow.
That is calibrated so that the kid will be focusing on the bad eye. And then that will, if they watch cartoons for an hour a day on the headset through their bad eye, like it will help their vision and hopefully give them a chance at improving the vision in their bad
That's
eye.
amazing. That's
And
wonderful.
so they decided, like, we're not a cartoon company. We're a medical device company. What do we know about cartoons? We'll ask Crunchyroll. So Crunchyroll has partnered with them to produce content for kids to watch through the headset in order to help their vision. And we wish them well. I mean, it's a great idea because if there's one, it's hard to get a kid to wear an eye patch, but it's easy to get a kid to watch cartoons.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Crunchyroll is everywhere, even helping children see. Here's an item I didn't have on the original schedule, but while we were talking, I thought of it when we mentioned Karen Green. And for years, Karen Green, I mean, I won't say I was the first person to come up with the idea, but I certain there was a bunch of folks who maybe 15 years ago were like, Jack Kirby's birthplace is on Ludlow Street, or excuse me, on Essex Street. And we were like, let's get a plaque on Jack Kirby's birthplace because he certainly deserves it. And this is when the MCU was starting up. And I mentioned it to Karen Green because I thought, well, if anyone can do it, Karen can. But she wrote to the cast, the you have to write to the local board, and they gave her all sorts of stuff. It's like this, including like Jack Kirby did not have he was not have a significant impact on the neighborhood. So
What?
yeah. Well, then there was
Oh.
like there's two efforts. Like getting a plaque on a building is very difficult because you have to get real estate and the owners involved, and they might not want to get the because
Plaque.
then they can't tear it down,
Yeah,
right?
they will
So
worry about that. Yeah.
there was the other effort was to get a street named after Jack Kirby, which, as we know, as New Yorker, well, Kate is a displaced New Yorker, but when you walk around,
Lot
there's
of,
plaques
yeah,
everywhere.
there's a lot
Yes.
of place streets that get technically renamed for about a block.
Yeah, and that's fine. There's
Yeah.
near
Yeah,
me.
it's not a
There's,
bad thing. It's cool.
yeah, it's cool. So they were trying that for Kirby, and that's where they got the, oh, he didn't have an impact on the local, blah, blah, blah. So Karen was stymied. I other people kind of tried it. And then earlier this year, as I might have mentioned on the podcast, there was a very temporary, like just a few hours,
Yeah.
naming of the corner of Essex and Delancey for Jack Kirby, but it was just a promo stunt for the Fantastic Four. Well, apparently Saint Karen at San Diego Comic-Con was talking to Roy Schwartz, who is a local like Jewish historical figure, chronicler, sometimes writes for CNN. Anyway, he has a lot of contacts. This guy's connected. She mentioned it to him. And I have to be honest, I think Roy had the clout to get this pushed across, at least to the next level. So the local board has voted to approve having a street named after Jack Kirby, and the
Really?
local councilman has jumped on the Kirby bandwagon.
Oh,
He's
well, this
like,
is
oh,
great.
what a great figure who, we would love, had such an impact. 'Cause he did,
He
like
did. Well,
all
certainly.
of his work is totally rooted in growing up in a tough neighborhood in New York City. So this is it has many hurdles to clear. It has to be approved by more boards. It has to be approved by the city council, and the mayor will have to sign off on it. And so,
Whoever that may be.
well, I feel that as I said, Jack Kirby was always standing up for the little guy and the working class. And Zoran Mamdani, if you're listening, by the way, his wife is a cartoonist, so we
That's
got
true. Got good
yes,
point, Heidi.
yes.
Good point.
Zoran Mamdani, if you're listening, there is no better way to recognize the working class than getting a street named after Jack Kirby.
Yeah, this sounds absolutely, and this, of course, is in my neighborhood, so this is exciting to hear. Does the Jack Kirby Museum is doing a bunch of stuff too, right? From
Yes,
the,
they're doing a pop-up, their traditional pop-up
yes,
in
yep,
November.
yeah.
By the way, they got a story on the CBS local news. I haven't had a chance to watch it. So Roy, this guy Roy Schwartz, who I've met a few times, he's a good guy, and he is definitely on the case with this. Other people, the cause, the banner has been raised. The horn has been sounded. The Rohan, Gondor sends its troops.
There you go.
Rohan
Yeah,
sends its troops.
the only thing missing is the Silver Surfer, like heralding the coming of
Well,
Jack
he
Kirby
will.
Way.
Well, that would be the best
Yeah,
possible promo for it, Calvin. So let's,
so hopefully, yeah, you know,
yeah.
we'll see. That may be coming. You never know. Excellent news update, Heidi.
Yeah. Kate, what do we got for some briefs this week?
Well, we have a lot of things for briefs because a lot of news has to be crammed in briefly, but we only have 10 minutes to do it. Well, 12 minutes to do it. So.
Yeah, and now the breeze. Fantagraphics is, which has obviously been involved in publishing manga in the past, is launching a brand new imprint focused on it. It's going to be run by Conrad Groth, who obviously Gary Groth's son, who's been really had an impact, it seems like, on their editorial there. Eric Reynolds, who's the president now, and Gary's listed as associate publisher. So they're going to launch the imprint will do about 16 titles a year. Pretty significant, it seems to me. Let's see. I think they and
Well,
they've
there's one about a cat, Wandering Cat's
announced a
Cage.
new line.
So,
Absolutely, Wandering Cat's Cage by Akane Turukai, translated by Jocelyn Allen, which will be out in May next year. There's a story on this on Publishers Weekly. If you want to go to publishersweekly.com/comics, and you can get more of the details. The imprint will be called Takumi Graphics, and it's based off of a Japanese word, takumi, which refers to excellence or ingeniousness. And it can be referred to people and or things. So the imprint will be launching next spring.
yeah, and in typical Fantagraphics fashion, even though they have a book that has cat in the title, the description is an elegiac manga about gender, community, family control, class, love, and what makes life worth living at the end of the world.
There you
So
go.
not just your typical cat comic manga.
There you
Okay.
go. All right.
So Yen Press, if you haven't heard, has a light novel division called Yen On. It has decided to partner with Tapas. So Tapas is going to be partnering with Yen On to bring out on their Tapas app, some of Yen On's biggest titles in light novel form, chapter by chapter on the app. So this includes Eminence in Shadow, Overlord, ReZero, The Summer Hikaru Died, and That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, the eternal hit. So usually this is the opposite direction things go. Usually light novels in the United States will be serialized to some kind of app, and then if they're popular, they'll pick up a publisher. Well, this time they're doing it in the opposite direction. Frankly, Tapas at the moment in English is much more comics heavy. Their light novel selection is not as good. This is an obvious pairing. I wish them both well.
There is so much going on in this space with all the stuff that's going on, man. So, yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up this week's edition of More to Come. And listeners, let's be honest. We've been doing this for 14 years, 704 episodes, and that's a really great run, but there are going to be a few little changes here.
Right.
And we
This
are
is
going.
not goodbye. This
No.
is, we're taking it to the back room and doing some tinkering.
Well, we're taking a break after this episode to work on some stuff. And, most importantly of all, Calvin, you are.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna be stepping away, but providing some su support where needed. Let's remember, I retired as a full-time journalist at the end of 2022. I still do this and that as a freelancer for PW, but I'm probably going to be stepping away from the podcast. I think we need another news reporter, but I'll be around offering support in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
And
So, I
you'll
mean,
hear from him again,
I'm, yeah,
listeners.
yeah, Calvin
I'll
is
be
not
around.
leaving. Not Calvin will be around because we'd be heartbroken if he isn't. Because,
Yeah,
Calvin, you
oh, there
are
you
the
go.
heart and
Come
soul of this podcast. And, like I said, there's a little video up on PW's Instagram where I just said, I can't believe we've been doing this for so long because it's just part of my life. Like, talking to you guys every week is, or every other week, is just so
Yeah.
part of my life. Well, that said, all things must change, and so Kate and I will be, we're going to bring on some guests. We're going to try some new things. We're looking for some news hounds out there, and there will be a few changes.
You might say more to come,
I think yes,
huh?
but listeners, please do not take this that this is the last you're going to hear from us. We
No.
promise there will be more.
Two.
Come. All right.
All right, good.
All right.
That was good. I was leaving. More.
More.
Well, that's it.
Two.
Another week down,
Come.
another more to come down. And as
All
always,
right.
there
All
will
right, good.
be.
All right.
That was good.
More.
I was leaving. Two.
Come. There will.
Or will there?
There will.
I'm impressed.